When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, The Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So welcome to the show today. And on this show today, what I'd like to discuss is the topic of fertility and the challenges that couples face getting pregnant. So I'm your host, Dr. Adukon. And today we'll explore the subject, which is very important to all of us. Now, fertility, or the preparation involved in getting pregnant, is one of the most important events in our lives, that event of having a baby. And you may have experienced a normal, uncomplicated pregnancy, or a number of pregnancies, but increasingly nowadays, getting pregnant can be a challenge in itself. And it's stressful for both partners, both male and female. With lower rates of fertility being reported worldwide and decreased male sperm counts, it's increasingly common for couples to seek help in getting pregnant. And often that can lead down the path of medical intervention and IVF, for example. And even though IVF has helped so many couples in the past number of decades, the treatment has its own challenges and stresses, and does not guarantee success. Average success rates per treatment can be in the range of 10 to 40%, with better results in couples under the age of 35. It is also an expensive treatment and may not be the right choice or even available for everyone. So today what I would like to do is look at fertility through the lens of Ayurveda, like I've done in previous shows for other issues that we face. Now, whether you're beginning your conception journey or have faced challenges in the past, or simply want to support your reproductive health in a holistic, integrative and natural way, Ayurveda offers a rich, time-tested wisdom that you can avail of to help. So let me run over what I'll cover in this episode. Firstly, I'll explain what Ayurveda is and how it views fertility, pregnancy and reproduction. Then I'll discuss the energetic and the physical roots of fertility challenges according to Ayurveda and any specific imbalances which may be involved in the issue. I'll discuss the role of the three doshas in the reproductive cycle. I'll discuss daily routines, diets, lifestyle practices which can help improve fertility, some general advice in that respect. I'll talk about some key herbs, some remedies you can make at home, and some therapies or herbal medication that are used in Ayurvedic fertility support. And I'll discuss how Ayurveda is so appropriate to integrate into a modern medicine approach to fertility as well. And I'll give a simple guided practice you can start if you need help with fertility and getting pregnant. So this is like a meditation practice. And I'll finish up with some final reflections. So as always, I must stress this podcast or this radio show today is providing an educational and informational content and some general advice. If you're having fertility issues, I would certainly recommend consulting an Ayurvedic practitioner or a fertility specialist. But there could be underlying problems that need to be dealt with. But Ayurveda can be a powerful companion or toolkit and a way to deepen your connection with your body, your mind, and your spirit. So let's begin. What is Ayurveda and its view on fertility? Well, Ayurveda, as mentioned before, it's in the title of my show, it's translated as the science of life. So it's two Sanskrit words that are joined together, Ayur meaning life and Veda meaning knowledge. Ayurveda is a comprehensive system of health that views the body, the mind and the senses and even the spirit as a dynamic unity or whole concept. And rather than compartmentalizing disease according to systems, for instance, your nervous system, reproductive system, your cardiovascular system, Ayurveda seeks the root causes of dis-ease or disorder by balancing one's constitution, what we call the prakriti, and the current imbalance that you face, called the vikruti. Ayurveda teaches us that digestion is a key component to our overall health. Dis-ease comes when digestion is not balanced, hence our tissues cannot get nourished properly, and the waste products of our digestion accumulate as toxins in our tissues, which we call dhatus, and our body channels, which we call srotas. In Ayurveda, fertility isn't just about the mechanical act of conception or adjusting hormone levels to enhance the chance of getting pregnant. Ayurveda views fertility as a sign of a healthy internal ecosystem. There is balanced digestion and metabolism, which we call Agni. There's optimal nutrition of the tissues or the dhatus. There's precise hormonal balance and signaling within the body, and this is referred to as ojas. The channels within the body are unblocked, they're free-flowing, and the correct timing and energy is present for the germination of the seed or the sperm. Now, infertility or subfertility can be seen as a sign that somewhere in that system, something is out of balance. And the goal of treatment is to restore balance and harmony, to create a fertile soil or internal environment which in which that seed or that sperm can fertilize the egg and lead to a successful pregnancy. So in Ayurveda, the teaching around fertility and conception explains that when your ojas or your vital energy, your tejas, which is your digestive fire and metabolic fire, and your sattva, which is your purity of mind, are strong, then fertility, conception can occur. And Ayurveda has long recognized that fertility is sensitive to the cycles of life, the changes of season, the changes in our age and periods of phases of our life, our hormonal phases, our emotional states, and the external environment around us. This means that the approach to treatment is not a one-size-fits-all. It's highly individualized. Now, this holistic view of a person's health means that Ayurveda is uniquely placed to work alongside conventional fertility care. For instance, IVF, IUI, in what is called an integrative fashion, or working together. With the help of an Ayurvedic practitioner, you can address your diet, your food choices, your lifestyle, your mental health, your digestion, any toxins that are accumulating in your body to try and reduce them, and also harmonize these subtle energies or doshas that can support conception. Now, what are the energetic or the physical root causes of the fertility challenges in Ayurveda? In other words, how does Ayurveda explain problems with fertility? Well, there are a number of areas to cover here. And first and foremost, like I said, it looks at our digestion, our Agni, where there's a dysfunction in that. So that weak digestion leads to Ama, which are regarded as undigested toxins or undigested food. And this can block the channels, can damage the tissues, and can impair the absorption of nutrients or nourishment from the food, and can reduce your overall levels of vitality or energy, which we call ojas. Secondly, where there's a dysregulation of this digestion within the tissues, each tissue has its own metabolic fire, metabolic process, and the reproductive tissue, which is called Shukradhati, is the one that's nourished at the end of the sequence of tissues. So it needs good upstream nourishment from the previous dhatus of plasma, blood, muscle, fat, and bone. So in this way, this reproductive tissue layer is particularly susceptible to problems in digestion further up the chain. And this is why our sexual vitality, our libido, our fertility, our reproductive health can be impaired as a result of impaired Agni or impaired digestive fire in the gut and in the other tissue layers before it reaches that level. And it can be said that our sexual or reproductive health status is a sensitive indicator of our overall health. Often, problems can occur here before other tissues are affected. And thirdly, this concept of depletion of our vital energy, our ojas. Ojas is regarded as the subtle essence of what's left after the end of the process of digestion through our tissues. It's like a kind of a reserve of our essence of vitality. Factors that can affect it would be stress, poor sleep, overwork, chronic inflammation, infections. All of these can reduce the level of this vital energy that we have inside us, and can compromise our immunity, affect our hormonal balance, and even the quality of the sperm and the ovum, or the egg. We talk about these channels being blocked, the srotas. These are the channels, for instance, the reproductive channels of the ovary to the uterus, the vascular channels in the bloodstreams, in the venous and the arterial system, and the lymphatic channels, which are to do with removal of waste from our body tissues.
And any blockages of these caused by mucus, inflammation, or fibroids, for instance, in the womb, or any improper flow, whether it's backflow, this can affect the transport of energy to the tissues and the removal of waste. And once again, fourthly, this concept of dosha imbalance, where there's an imbalance in our natural dosha combination. And I'll discuss this later in the next section. Sixth, we talk about this concept of toxicity accumulation in our body. Excess environmental toxins, heavy metals, processed foods, pesticides, even conventional medications can create levels of toxicity in the body. And these may affect our hormonal balance or signaling and processes such as ovulation and the implantation of the ovum into the womb. Psychological stress and trauma is another factor that can affect our fertility, according to Ayurveda. Emotional stress, suppressed emotions, unresolved or unprocessed trauma that we carry with us can affect our reproductive health. We regard the mind and body as inseparable in Ayurveda. So any mental discord or unhappiness or upset can manifest physically. This can occur via the adrenal organs, which are responsible for the secretion of the stress hormone. Any hormonal disruption or even poor circulation to the pelvic organs, the areas where the reproductive organs are present. And lastly, as I mentioned before, living out of sync with nature's rhythms. The daily circadian rhythms of the day, the rhythms of the seasonal changes, if these are not reflected in our food choices, in our lifestyle activities, our practices and behaviors, then it can affect our fertility. So understanding that fertility challenges are really multifactorial and taking a holistic approach, a whole person, a whole system approach to the causes and then the treatments allow us to see every couple's situation as unique and manage them accordingly. So I'll take a short break now and I'll come back and discuss the role of the doshas in relation to fertility in Ayurveda. So see you in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show Ayurveda, the Science of Life. And today the discussion is all about fertility and pregnancy in relation to Ayurveda. In the next part of this show, I'd like to discuss the concept of the doshas, which are Vata, Pitta and Kapha, and how they're expressed in a reproductive health and fertility. Now, we know the three doshas of Vata, Pitta and Kapha are regarded as basic functional energies present in each of us. And when they're in balance, they support health and the body functions. When they're out of balance, either too much or too little of them, or one of them or two of them, or sometimes even three of them, they can cause a disruption in the body function and then ultimately disease. And when it comes to fertility, each dosha has a characteristic pattern. They have characteristic tendencies and they support and supportive and sometimes supportive, sometimes harmful practices, depending on the balance of the doshas. So let's have a quick look at them, a general quick look at them to see if we can understand this better. If we think of Vata and fertility, we think of the qualities of Vata. That Vata is the movement dosha made of air and space. So the qualities are mobile, cold, light, erratic, dry and rough. And if Vata is aggravated, the reproductive process becomes unstable, irregular, and a bit erratic. So conception may be difficult due to this feeling of lack of grounding, of even a thin endometrium or womb lining. The movement processes when the body with the ovulation and the movement of the egg may not be working correctly, and there can be, it's more likely to get things like early miscarriage due to insufficient nourishment of the egg in the early stages. And symptoms that might indicate that there's a Vata imbalance presence is that there would be more anxiety, more nervousness, abdominal bloating, a variable erratic appetite, up and down, so to speak, coldness in the body that's out of the normal, irregular cycles of menstruation, poor sleep, and dryness overall of the body. And then, of course, ways to balance this would be bring in the opposite qualities, bring in warmth, grounding, regular grounding practices, regular routines, nourishing foods like soups and stews, and even meat broth is a helpful to Vata. Stabilizing herbs can be used like ashwagandha, and some gentle movement rather than strenuous, rapid movement, and making sure there's sufficient rest periods during the day. When it comes to Pitta and fertility, remember Pitta is the fire and water dosha responsible for transformation processes within a body. And the qualities of Pitta would be hot, sharp, penetrating, oily, light, and kind of smelly or sour. And if it's aggravated, we can experience symptoms associated with inflammation, with heat. There can be hormonal imbalance within our system, excessive bleeding because Pitta is the dosha responsible for the blood tissue layer, irritation within the pelvis. Conditions such as endometriosis are typically associated with a Pitta imbalance. Fibroids, hyperex, acidity in the gut, and sometimes heavy periods or heavy menstrual flow. And the symptoms associated with Pitta imbalance, as you could imagine, are symptoms associated with heat, irritability, a strong, even insatiable appetite, hot body, acne, skin problems, prone to quick anger, hyperacidity in the gut, reflux and heartburn, and often sweating or heavy sweating. Ways to pacify Pitta then, we're thinking bringing in the opposite qualities, like I've mentioned so many times before, the cooling foods, the calming herbs such as coriander, mint and fennel and cardamom. Moderate exercise rather than strenuous exercise, and avoid overheated environments, keeping the temperature down, the thermostat. Cooling foods, and to guard or avoid anything that causes excessive heat or inflammation of the body. Alcohol is a good example. And when it comes to kapha, lastly, the qualities of kapha are stable, heavy, moist, dense, and cold. Kapha is made up of the elements of earth and water manifest within us. So excess kapha can lead to sluggish, slow metabolism and digestion, overweight or accumulation of fat in the body, fluid retention, poor circulation, congestion within the body organs, particularly the chest, and delayed ovulation. Polycystic ovary syndrome is a common condition associated with kapha imbalance, which can affect fertility levels. And what are the symptoms that you'd see in a kapha imbalance? Well, people can feel lethargic. They can describe their digestion as slow. Their appetite is poor. They have heaviness within their system, congestion quite commonly, and weight gain. And they're just generally slow down and a bit more sluggish. And that also applies to their mental activity. And balancing kapha needs bringing in mainly lightness in foods and activities, stimulation, cleansing, detox procedures are quite commonly used and for kapha imbalance to encourage lightness in the body. So to this concept of losing some of the weight and the heaviness within the body, increased movement, warmer spiced foods, reducing mucus forming diets such as yogurts, milk, dairy, and heavy grains. So these are examples, just general examples of the specific dosha imbalances. And this is how we describe them for learning or illustrative purposes, really. But in the real life of people, every person's fertility picture presentation is different and can often involve a mixture of doshic imbalances, not just one. And this is where it gets more complicated, where you really would benefit from seeing an Ayurvedic practitioner to tease out exactly what's going on. And this is where an Ayurvedic practitioner can identify the main imbalance and restore the main dosha that's out of balance and work towards dealing with that while dealing with the other one in an appropriate time period. Now, these dosha paths can present in delayed infertility cases. For instance, a woman with a vata aggravation can have irregular or even absent periods and recurrent early miscarriages, difficulty maintaining pregnancy. A woman with the pitta excess can have heavy painful periods and endometriosis, and even hyperstimulation of the ovaries, which can occur during that period of the menstrual cycle, is associated with a pitta imbalance. And as I mentioned, a kapha imbalanced person can have polycystic ovaries, weight gain, sluggish metabolism, difficulty losing weight, and clearing the mucus from the system, which can affect the movement of within the channels, which is so vitally important for conception and pregnancy. So once an Ayurvedic practitioner can identify these imbalances, then they can tailor a course of balancing treatments, which includes food, choices, diet, lifestyle practices, herbal remedies, and herbal medications. So what are the daily routines and diet and lifestyle that you generally recommend in Ayurveda to promote fertility? I'll take a short break now and come back and discuss some general recommendations for lifestyle and diet and remedies that can be used for promoting fertility using an Ayurvedic approach. See you in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show today, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. And this show is all about fertility and pregnancy. So I hope you're enjoying it so far. There's quite a bit in it, I have to admit, but it is very helpful as a review for some common Ayurvedic principles that we can discuss. So there are some certain things that would apply in most cases for recommending, promoting, so to say, fertility and successful pregnancy. And these are what we call, in Ayurveda, we look at them from a point of view of daily routines, diet and lifestyle practices. And one of the most constant features of Ayurveda is its emphasis on a daily and a seasonal routine to adhere to promote positive balanced health and well-being. And those are the Dinacharya, which is the daily routine, and the Ritucharya, which is the seasonal routine. And I love the sounds of the Sanskrit words, charya being routine and day and season being dina and ritu. And this is no different in the case of fertility. So for fertility, these routines would support hormonal balance. It would reduce the stress couples and the woman particularly are under, and provide consistency for the reproductive system to thrive, or an optimal environment for pregnancy to occur. And these routines are much the same, with some variation in oils or the remedies used, depending on the dosha imbalance. And this is where you get help from an Ayurvedic practitioner, advice from them in a consultation. Remember, these practices are designed to prepare you to be ready to conceive and prepare for a healthy pregnancy. So once again, we're talking about that preemptive approach. So to take steps before a disease occurs, or take steps before a transition or an important event in your life, for instance, becoming pregnant or transiting the menopause instance. And in the daily routine, the recommendation is to get up as early as reasonably possible, where there's this can support and kind of, it can tune into the circadian rhythms of the day and help with the natural balance of hormonal secretion within the body, particularly in women around the menstrual period, preparing for reproduction. Start the day with a glass of warm water or a glass of herbal tea, which can cleanse the body, cleanse the oral mucosa and stimulate digestion. Tongue scraping is a commonly recommended technique to remove toxins that have accumulated overnight in the tongue. Using nausea or nasal cleansing, for instance, the neti pot that's so common these days, the idea for this is to restore the flow of prana, which is the energy that we intake through the nostrils into the lungs and into the body. And a gentle self massage or abhyanga with warm oils, sesame, almond, and a coconut, depending on the imbalance that's present. And this helps to nourish the tissues, it improves the circulation, and it also calms vata, which is a very important dosha to have working properly in order to get pregnant. Introducing some mindfulness in the morning, some pranayama or breath work, some short periods of meditation is also helpful to set ourselves up for the day. And specific meditations or breath works involving alternate nostril breathing, called Nadi Shodhana, is recommended to calm the nervous system and reduce stress. Also, as part of our daily routine, we need to ensure that our breakfast and our meal times are timed in a regular schedule. To eat the largest meal of the day in the middle of the day when our digestive fire is the strongest, and to avoid overeating or undereating. To eat in a slow and calm and undistracted environment. Now, other lifestyle practices that are often recommended in Ayurveda would be gentle yoga, walking. There are specific poses that can help with pelvic opening in yoga, which you would either learn about from a yoga practitioner in a yoga class. Avoid over extremes of exertion, especially heavy cardio, especially if there's a dosha imbalance, particularly in the pitta dosha. And fit in plenty of rest periods during the day. Even some short midday pauses where you can do some stretching or some balancing or some breathing exercises or practices. And in the evening time, ensure having an early dinner, the stress of preparing dinner is not running on into the late evening, and a wind down routine before bed. And this should involve warm baths, reading, gentle stretching again, and avoiding stimulants such as use of screens late at night or caffeine or alcohol at a late time of the evening. And the seasonal adjustments would be similar. They would involve shifting our diet and lifestyle to match the season. It seems obvious, but it's surprising how often we don't do this or think about it. So notice what season you're in. Is it autumn? Is it winter, spring or summer? And I appreciate sometimes with the crazy weather and systems we're getting, it's difficult to know which season you're in from week to week or month to month. But in general, we can tell at the moment, we're certainly in the autumn season with the high winds, the change of the weather. So just to be aware of that. And in summer, for instance, avoid foods that bring excessive heat, spicy foods, avoid excess sun exposure, and favor cooling herbs such as I mentioned before, and lighter meals with salads and green vegetables and lots of fruit. And in the winter and late fall, we're moving towards more warming, and this time of the year, more grounding, more nutrient-dense foods that we need, like soups and stews and root vegetables particularly. And these are all in season this time of the year. So it's not difficult to find what you need to eat if you think about it. And also to be aware in the transition between seasons that we need to have extra focus on our digestive support, on sometimes gentle cleansing and moderating our routines to reflect that. So you have to be aware that we can sometimes carry or accumulate some of the preceding season's dosha in our system into the next. For example, for the pitta dosha, as you transit from summer to autumn, and classically in the Kapha dosha from late winter into spring. And this time of the year, early springtime or springtime, is often a time of detox and lightening of the body in many cultures. For instance, Lent in the Christian faith and Ramadan in the Muslim faith. And in terms of diet nutrition guidelines with regards to promoting fertility, conception and a successful pregnancy, of course, all diets must be individualized. However, I can give some general advice about the recommended Ayurvedic diets for promoting fertility. And those would be to emphasize once again, fresh, seasonal, whole foods. Foods that you can recognize what they are. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, soaked nuts and seeds. You would take more of the warm, well-cooked, easily digestible foods over the raw and the cold foods, especially if your digestion is a little bit weak. If you have a kapha imbalance, for instance. You'd use spices in moderation. Ginger, cumin, coriander, fennel and cinnamon are the preferred spices. You'd include healthy fats in your diet. Ghee, clarified butter, sesame oil, almond oil. And these help nourish the tissues and they aid this hormonal regulation we need. And they improve the movement within these strata or channels by adding that lubrication we need for things to flow. We'd include protein sources, of course, in terms of legumes, mung dal, which is a green bean lentil dish, soaked dals. Add fish or meat in your constitution if you're not a vegetarian. And avoid or limit refined sugars and processed foods and artificial additives. Alcohol, of course, is not recommended in trying to get pregnant and during pregnancy. And caffeine in carbonated drinks, because these can stimulate the vata. And the same applies for minimizing cold drinks. Ice and drinks is another thing that we try and reduce. Is a general advice in Ayurveda, and this also helps calm the vata, and it also avoids any problems that might occur with our digestion if we're taking too many cold things while we're eating. In terms of tastes, we generally favour the pitta balancing tastes, which would be sweet, bitter and astringent, and drinking water during the day in small sips rather than gulping large amounts of cold water. And having warm water with our meals. These are just some general advice that you would get. And sometimes you might need to consider some light intermittent fasting or rest periods for digestion. Say, for instance, this intermittent fast where you would eat twice a day. But this would not be recommended during the time when you're trying hard to become pregnant and during pregnancy, of course. Now, some lifestyle tips. And these are common sense ones that are, I often say again and again, that are recommended, but prioritize our sleep. The bedtimes and the wait times are so important to get in a scheduled way so that we're not missing that crucial time between 10 and 2 when we really do need to get sleep and to get processing and get that pit of time that we don't want to stray into and remain awake in. You know, emotional self-care such as encouraging creative pursuits, things you do just for the sake of doing them rather than that there's any purpose or goal involved in it. Journaling is another good thing to do to help process thoughts and things that have cropped up during the day. Commit them to paper. And minimize exposure to everyday toxins. Use natural cleaning products, avoiding heavy metals and reduce the amount of plastics that you're exposed to. These are just common sense things that we always recommend again and again. And moderate your screen time, particularly late in the evening, because there's concerns that this causes overstimulation of vata, which can, if your vata balance is one of the most difficult imbalances that can be involved in trying to get pregnant. Avoiding burnout and overworking, pace yourself and add in rest days when you need. And if you feel that if you're doing many of these things and it's you're still not able to get pregnant, or you still have you're having difficulty. But at least if you're doing them, then if you do see a practitioner and you start taking some remedies or some herbal medication, you'll have created an environment. The interventions of the medication will be more likely to be successful than if you didn't do anything. So this is the point I'm trying to make, that this creating an internal milieu or environment within your body, within the man's body to produce the sperm, within the woman's body to produce the ovum, and to have the circumstances or the environment in her pelvis, in her uterus, so that the pregnancy is not only she conceive, but she can carry and continue pregnancy. So you're kind of making that place, that environment, welcome for a new life. And this is very much what's involved in the advice and treatment we recommend in Ayurveda for fertility problems. So lastly, I'll finish up briefly with some of the common herbs that are used in Ayurveda to help with promoting a successful pregnancy. And these would be ashwagandha, which I've mentioned many times before. We know it supports stress. It supports us in stressful situations, promotes resilience, helps with hormonal balance, improves this ojas or this vital essence we have, and also is an adaptogen. It can work with other food sources and other spices and herbs to have an additive effect. Shatavari, which is derived from the root of asparagus, is a particularly helpful for women. It is known as a reproductive hormone. In our it nourishes the reproductive tissues and improves the reproductive health of a woman. It can help in stabilizing any hormones that are out of balance. It promotes uterine health and helps the circulation around the pelvis and uterine area to increase the chance of a successful pregnancy. And amalaki is another common used herb in Ayurveda. It is a antioxidant. It helps with tissue repair and tissue recycling, which occurs a lot during the menstrual cycle, and also can build up our ojas and help with our hormonal balance. Another herb that can be used as well is called brahmi, which has an effect on calming the mind and supports clarity of thinking. It can help us reduce our stress levels and anxiety. Both of these issues can be involved in the challenges that couples face in conceiving and having a successful pregnancy. I'm going to finish up with a few final words on the importance of being able to integrate Ayurveda into modern fertility care. So you can think of Ayurveda, because it's such a natural system of medicine, it integrates very well with conventional medicine or conventional fertility medical clinics. Obviously, it's important to inform your specialist about any herbs or treatments you are taking, as they may affect some of the blood tests or some of the procedures that they would have to do in terms of IVF or IUI or ovulation induction, which occurs with receiving hormonal treatments to help increase the number of eggs for conception. So this is just one thing that it's important to be transparent with both your Ayurvedic practitioner and your fertility specialist. But remember, the difficulty that couples experience getting pregnant is not unusual. And sometimes it's maybe a little call to yourself to look at what you're doing in your overall health and to listen to your body. Because Ayurveda can provide support, particularly the difficult times of receiving these conventional medical treatments that can be quite aggressive in terms of hormone injections and IVF and so on. It can help in a holistic way to keep you strong and to keep your morale up during these difficult times. So the goal of integrating with conventional medical care is that it's not one or other, both can be used to help. So I hope you found it helpful, and this short discussion about Ayurveda and fertility. In many ways, Ayurveda looks at fertility not as a malfunction to be fixed, but as a process that requires your mind and body and spirit to be in full harmony, because you're bringing new life into the world. And this is not something that we can approach lightly or think is going to happen automatically. We need to be prepared and in our best health for this to occur and for the best possible outcome to all want with the pregnancy. So when we nurture our digestion, when we clear the toxins that are maybe accumulating in our system, when we stabilize and balance our doshas, when we honor the natural rhythms of nature in day and night and season, and we support our mental health and nourish our tissues, you know, as well as we possibly can, create that environment, not just for the conception of the baby, but also for the ongoing pregnancy and for the best possible outcome of the health of the baby at the end of the year. I'll finish up with my last messages, and I'll see you all again next week.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, animayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree full on, fod seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.